Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and the 10th verse. Luke 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, good morning once again. We are honored with your presence. It is a glorious day. Glad to have you here with us for our 11 o'clock worship. It is always a joy to see your smiling faces here. We're going to be continuing a year-long series here in just a minute, but just a few pieces of housekeeping I've got. As it was mentioned so wonderfully in our announcements by Brother David, yes, our gospel meeting begins this coming Friday. Friday night at 7, Saturday night at 7, and Sunday morning at 9, 10, and 11. The 11 o'clock worship will be our homecoming service. Got a few things extra planned to read. Talked to Brother Archie on Wednesday. He's looking forward to being here. And he's looking forward to seeing you being here as well. And I hope you'll invite some people. We'd love to have some good guests come out and hear the gospel message preached again in its simplicity and its truth. And tonight, plan on, if you can, 5 o'clock, let's go to Leoni. We'll be there tonight here, Brother John Shannon. Let's support their meeting. It's a great work effort just right down the road from us. And they meet at 5. And if you've never heard Brother Shannon, you're in for a treat. And if you've heard him, then you know what to expect tonight. So that's tonight at 5. If you can make it over there, I know they'd greatly appreciate that one. Well, happy Easter to you. It is Easter, which is the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the first day of spring. And when I was planning my year-long sermon series, I was just looking at dates on the calendar, and I didn't realize it was Easter. So I don't have my atypical, quote-unquote, Easter sermon, but I tell you what, we'll make it fit by saying this. Jesus Christ died on the cross, so you don't have to be lost. Our lesson this morning is, If I'm Lost. Now, this lesson comes from a book, if you've forgotten the series that we're doing, published in 1952 by George Dehoff. It's the sermons of R.C. White. I've seen it in red, I've seen it in blue, and I've seen it in paperback as well. I happen to have the blue copy here. It was copyrighted in 45. I like Brother White, although I never met him. He passed in 61 because he held a meeting in about 1938 near Chattanooga, Gil, Tennessee. There was about a 15-year-old man that went to the meeting that night. He responded to the Lord's invitation. About 20 years later, he had a daughter, who about 35 years later had a daughter, who about 25 years later I married that daughter. So I like Brother White because he helped guide Brother Real on a great lifelong. He was a preacher for 80 years. And I know he preached some R.C. White sermons because I've seen his copy of the book, but this one's mine. So what I have done is I have selected 12 of these sermons, and we've been doing them on the first Sunday morning of the month, and I'm not preaching them as if I am Brother White. I'm not. But I'm taking his outline, and here's how I would preach it. It's over 75 years old, but I tell you what, the gospel message still saves. Our lesson this morning is simply titled, If I Am Lost. Friends, life is uncertain, but death is sure. We must right now prepare for eternity, for we never know when it will be our time to cease being on this earth. It could be today, it could be years from now. We could still be alive when Jesus Christ comes back. But since death is certain, we must prepare for it today. In Amos chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, The Lord has sworn by His holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you, He will take you away with hooks, your prosperity with fish hooks. There's going to come a time where those that are wicked, they're going to be pulled away at the great judgment, and they're going to be cast into everlasting darkness. But those that are righteous, they will get to go to that home, life eternal. Is death serious to you? Are you ready? The theme of our lesson is If I Am Lost, and I believe it is worthy of our consideration. And as we look at this, we need to keep in mind Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, where God says, My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They're destroyed because they don't open my word, God says, and read from it and live by it. So this morning, I want us to open God's word. And I've got four truths. Well, R.C. White has four truths for us on If I'm Lost. And we'll go through them together, and then the lesson will be yours. Number one, if I am lost, I will not be alone. If I am lost, it's not just going to be me that's lost. In fact, it's a pity that there are going to be so many that are lost. Go with me to the book of Romans here for just a moment. Romans 14 and verse 7. For we see when Paul is writing to them and he's putting in practice what he's already told them in the letter. Romans 14, 7, Paul says, none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. In other words, you're not just in a bubble for the entirety of your life. In fact, quite the opposite. You have an effect on me and I have an effect on you. We don't just live alone because other people see us. We can have a positive or negative influence on those people around us. So no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. I think back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. Go with me there for a minute, because I tell you what, Eve probably thought that she was alone, but Scripture records to me and Scripture records to you, Eve's not alone in this section. I don't exactly know how big the Garden of Eden was, but Adam is off somewhere doing something else, and Eve thinks she's alone. But notice Genesis 3 verse 1, the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? See, she probably thought she was alone. Friends, I tell you what, Satan, as a rule, does not try to attack us when we're here at the church building, right? But he tries to attack us when we're off by ourselves. He tries to attack God's people after they've had some spiritual high, some spiritual success. I think about Noah. After Noah gets off the ark and some years pass, that's when he gets drunk and sins, right? Elijah, after he had beaten Baal and Ashtoreth and all those false prophets up there on Mount Carmel, in the very next chapter, Satan has him thinking that he's the only one serving God. Friends, no one is alone. Go with me to Matthew 7. I'm sure you're familiar with these verses in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Because Jesus Christ says, to enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. What are you saying, Jesus? You're not going to be alone if you're lost. In fact, overwhelmingly, the majority is going to be lost. But because the straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Jesus doesn't say it's impossible or we shouldn't strive, but he said by and large the masses are going to go the broad, the open gate, the wide gate. They're just going to go with the flow. But straight and narrow is the way that leads unto eternal life. Eve thought she was alone in the garden. She wasn't. Go with me now to Luke chapter 16. We're going to read one verse here, then we're going to come back and look at this in its entire, or this section in its entirety. But Luke 16, when we think, if I'm lost, I will not be alone, there's a man who was lost. His name is the rich man. I don't know his actual name. But I tell you what, he did not desire. He had five brethren. He had five brethren. In verse 27, then the rich man said, I pray thee therefore, Father Abraham, you would send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five other brothers, that he may testify unto them, that they may also not come into this place of torment. See, the rich man was lost, but he didn't want his family to be lost as well. So he wanted to Lazarus to go back, but that's not how that works. Once you're there, you can't go back. Abraham's going to say, well, they had the law. They had the prophets. They had the same thing that you had. And the prophets will speak to them. And I hate to say it, friends, if we're lost, and if we lead others down that path, there's a good chance it may be some of our dearly beloved family members, because they're the ones who are around the most, right? We don't need to be going that way. We don't need to be lost, because it's not just going to be us we're going to have an effect on. Now, I can't make somebody else be lost, and I certainly can't make somebody else be saved, or I'd be doing that every hour of the day. But I can have a positive or a negative influence on somebody. There's an old hymn in our songbook called At the Beautiful Gate, and it said, if no one should be at the beautiful gate, watching and waiting for me. if I'm lost, I'm not going to be alone, but I'd hate to see other people there that I know. On the contrary, if I'm saved, I'll be with the ransomed, with the redeemed throughout all the ages, singing God's praises. But if I'm lost, I won't be the only one. Number two, when we think about if I'm lost. Friends, if I'm lost, I'm going to be lost forever. I am going to be lost forever. Go with me to Matthew 25 and verse 46, the final verse in that chapter. Matthew 25, 46. Jesus is presenting a story with the righteous. They fed him when he was hungry. They clothed him when he was naked. They gave him food to eat. They gave him water to drink. They took care of him. They visited him when he was sick. And he said, they said, we don't know when we did these. He said, you did it to the least of my brethren. You did it to me. Enter into the reward. And then he says to the wicked, he says, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was sick, you didn't come help. And they said, well, we don't know when we saw you. And basically, he said, you're not looking, because you weren't doing it to the least of my brethren. But notice verse 46. And these, the wicked, shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, I did not translate the Bible from Greek into English, but if I did, I probably would have made it just a little bit differently, because the word everlasting in verse 46 in Greek is the same word as eternal in verse 46. So I would have made it say the same. I probably would have used eternal for both or everlasting. I don't care which one, but I would have used the same to underscore the fact that they'll go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous go into everlasting life. Jesus is making that great distinction when he uses the same word. But friends, if I'm lost, I'm going to be lost forever in an everlasting torment, in an everlasting punishment. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 for just a moment. Excuse me, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. 1 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, Paul writes, to those in Thessalonica, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Friends, hell is eternal. Hell is a place of eternal condemnation. I've heard the idea of eternity described this way, and I like it. You pick your favorite bird, maybe a parrot. I like parrots. A red parrot, a red macaw. And he goes to the beach, and in his beak he grabs one grain of sand, and he flies it to the moon and deposits it on the moon and comes back. And he takes another grain of sand and takes it to the moon. And he does this until every grain of sand on the earth has been placed on the moon and eternity has just started. It's everlasting. There is no end. Now on the contrary side, heaven. There's also no end to heaven. But friends, if I am lost, I'll be lost forever. And go back with me to Luke 16. I promised you we'd get there. Because there's no chance after we pass from this life. Let's read it in context. Luke 16, beginning in verse 19, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus says, "There's a certain rich man clothed in purple fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate. He was full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked Lazarus' sores. It came to pass, Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He sees Abraham afar off, Lazarus there in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip just the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted. You're tormented. Beside all this, there is between you, us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that I would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they would repent. Father Abraham says to him, if they would not hear Moses the prophets, neither would they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Friends, there's no chance after we take this last breath. I can't either A, come back to this earth and try to live my life over again. You may have heard of the doctrine, some of the Catholics like to use it, called purgatory, where the thought with that is, well, I can live just a wicked life, as awful as I want to be here on this earth, and I can die and go to hell, and God will pull out a chart and he'll say, well, you live this wicked, you've got to spend X amount of time and burn off those sins, and when you burn them off, you go to heaven. Well, I don't read that in the Bible. Because if any man would have tried, or if any man it could have happened to, it probably would have been the rich man. But once we're there, it's eternal. Friends, if I'm lost, I'm lost forever. Now go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, then we'll move on to our third truth. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 7 through verse 10. 2 Peter 2 and verse 7. And delivered Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly with them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they're not afraid to speak evil of the dignities. Friends, there's going to be torments. There's going to be punishments. You know, we often sing how beautiful heaven must be. No tears in heaven, no sorrows given. Well, we might could write a song, all tears in hell. Nothing's going to be joyous there for you. Nothing's going to be joyous there for me if we make it there. Friends, if I'm lost, I'm lost there forever. So that should motivate me to not be lost, to repent, to live faithful today, forward, every day for the rest of our life, so I don't have to spend eternity there in hell. Number three, if I am lost, I'm going to suffer a double loss. I'll suffer a double loss. I'll lose my joy and I'll suffer anguish. I'll lose my joy and I'm going to suffer anguish. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 8. Let's look at the words of our Savior. Matthew 8 and verses 11 and 12. And I say unto you, Jesus says, that many shall come from the east and west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping, and there'll be gnashing of teeth. Cast out into outer darkness. Weeping, just gnashing, just grinding, just lashing out. Elsewhere, Jesus Christ says, where their worm dieth not. Not the worm, but it's almost the idea of a personal worm, personal things plaguing you there in that outer darkness. Friends, we're going to lose our joy. We'll lose our rest. We'll lose our peace. We'll lose our associates. We'll lose God. We'll lose Christ. And we'll lose the saved of all mankind. And we'll suffer misery. And we'll suffer despair. We'll suffer wailing. We'll suffer darkness. It is a loss that is irreparable. And it's a suffering that's eternal. The Bible doesn't exactly say what will go through our minds when those that are there. But I've often wondered if they wouldn't have replayed on repeat for them every chance they had to obey the gospel, or every chance to maybe return and make their life right. That would be punishment enough, right? To say, well, I could have I could have not been here if I'd have done something here, or if I'd have done something here, if I'd have done something here. Friends, we're going to suffer anguish, and we're going to lose many things. But our final point, where we'll spend the rest of our time this morning, if I am lost, it will be my fault. If I'm lost, it'll be my fault. Or if you're lost, it will be your fault. And you'll have nobody to blame but you. I tell you, who does not want you to be lost? First and foremost is God. You know the golden text of the Bible, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God doesn't want you to go to hell so much, He made Jesus leave heaven to come to this earth and die for you. In fact, Peter puts it this way in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but God is not willing that any should perish. In other words, God is long-suffering so that those that are wayward can return home. God does not want you to be lost. I tell you who else doesn't want you to be lost? His Son, Jesus Christ. Go with me to Matthew 20 and verse 28 as we ponder a passage. Matthew 20 and 28. Jesus said, even as the Son of Man, He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And He came to give His life a ransom for many. And guess what? You are in that many. I am in that many. Jesus Christ came to be a ransom, to pay the debt for me, to pay the debt for you. Friends, Jesus Christ does not want us to be lost. In fact, Paul tells Titus in Titus 2:14, He gave Himself for us on that cross. As we discussed a few weeks ago in our Sunday morning class in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 2 and verse 9, Jesus Christ, that He may taste of death, and I said to underline it, for every man. And you know what's great about every man? I am included in every man, and you are included in every man. We're included in every man. See, Jesus Christ died the ultimate death so that I don't have to die that spiritual death, that being separated from God. Jesus doesn't want us to be lost so much. 1 John 2:1 and following, He is our advocate. He is our propitiation. He's pleading our case before the Father. He loves us enough that He died for us. God doesn't want us to be lost. Jesus doesn't want to be lost. But friends, I tell you, the Holy Spirit does not want us to be lost as well. He's grieved at our sins. Go with me to the end of Revelation. Revelation 22 and verse 17. I want you to see the great invitation that we still offer today. But notice who says it. And the capital S Spirit. Notice that. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. See, the Spirit doesn't want us to be lost. The Spirit's what gave us the Word of God in our written form. Of course the Spirit doesn't want us to be lost. Go with me to Luke 15, though. Someone else on that list, we'd be remiss if we don't mention. The angels in heaven themselves do not want us to be lost. Luke 15 and verse 10. Here in the lost passage, this one specifically is a woman that is lost a silver coin. She sweeps the whole house to find it. When she finds it, she calls all her friends, they rejoice. Likewise, Jesus says in Luke 15:10, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Tell you what, the angels don't want you to be lost. How do I know? Because they rejoice when someone comes home. When someone that was lost is now found. But go with me to 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Because the church, friends, the church, the best people on earth don't want you to be lost. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Paul says, I'm writing to you, Timothy. Watch this. But if I tarry long, I'm hoping to come to you shortly. Verse 14, 15. But if I tarry long, I'm writing that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. See, the church doesn't want us to be lost. The member, church being the members, not church, not a building. Church comprised of the called out, the saints, the believers, the baptized. The church does not want us to be lost. Once again, the Spirit and the Bride, Revelation 22:17, they say, come, those that hear, the believers, they don't want you to be lost either. But go back with me one more time to Luke chapter 16. As we looked at how God doesn't want us to be lost, how Christ doesn't want us to be lost, how the Holy Spirit doesn't want us to be lost, how the angels in heaven don't want us to be lost, how the church itself, and finally, the lost themselves don't want anybody else to be lost. Remember, we were talking about the rich man and Lazarus. What does he want to do? Go back to verse 27. He says, send therefore to my brothers. He says, I have loved ones on the earth that are heading for the same way I'm heading. Send somebody to stop them. See, I've seen it on a church sign. I believe it to be true. There are no atheists in hell, because when we die, we'll realize God is real, if you don't realize that already. And I guarantee you, everybody that's in hell doesn't want to be there. They'd rather be in heaven, and I guarantee you they don't want you to be there as well. So the lost themselves, friends, if I'm lost, I alone am responsible for being lost. I can't blame it on my preacher. I can't blame it on my parents, on my spouse, on my kids, on my neighbor, on my boss. Only me. So back to Revelation 22:17. Whosoever will. Friends, if I'm lost, I will not be alone. If I'm lost, I'll be lost forever. If I'm lost, I will suffer double loss, the loss of joy, and suffer anguish. And if I'm lost, it's going to be my own fault. An older hymn in some songbook said, how, oh how, are you living today? Think seriously. Because Christ left heaven to live on earth, to suffer and to die to save all. So heed his invitation. Don't be lost. The great news about this whole sermon is you don't have to be lost. You can prevent that from being happening. But first you have to obey the gospel. You do that by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Go in that watery grave, come out a new creature alive in Christ. If you've not done so, why not do so this very morning? If you have, though, keep remaining faithful unto death. Keep being faithful. That way you're not lost. If you've gotten off track, you need prayers, we're here. We'd love to assist you in any way that we can. Don't be lost. You can control that. If we can help you in any way at all, please let it be known while we